Okay, I've been up here before, so I told Paul he didn't need to introduce me again. If you overslept or got caught in traffic, this is part two. This is Court of Appeals cases. Supreme Court cases were part one. I only have 30 minutes, so this won't take long. It just may seem like it. Just want to mention here that I did update the pet histories as of the Ides of March. The paper is older, but they may not be updated to today. So the first thing we look at is, again, the old fixed and floating thing, and there are three cases to look at. I think most of us would look at these pictures and say that the man and the ship are fixed, not floating, but by analogy to the NPR cases, NPRI cases, in the Texas courts would probably say that they're floating. We have three cases. The most interesting one is really this Boren descendants case. Word usual, of course, is it's typically found in these grants and reservations of NPRIs. Courts don't, I guess, find that word to be at all convincing that it somehow means that the parties intended a fixed royalty. We have this presumption that arises that these double fraction cases lead you to the conclusion that it's floating unless there's some other reason to make it fixed. And in this case, the parties representing the maybe parties and the Boren parties raised a whole bunch of estoppel issues, all of which were rejected. In a nutshell, I won't go through all of it in detail because there's contractual estoppel, quasi-estoppel, division order estoppel, then there's waiver and ratification arguments. But basically, I think they all boil down to there being no reliance by the parties to something that would give rise to an estoppel, in part because in some of the instances, at least, there was no evidence that the maybe parties even were aware that the Faskin parties had treated the NPR in question as fixed, even though they clearly did treat it as fixed, at least in some instances. The only thing that I found odd about the court's reasoning was they made the point a couple of times that, well, you can't really hold the Faskins to their prior conduct because this whole business of fixed and floating was up in the air and the courts really hadn't decided the matter. I think title lawyers like Bill Burford, for example, would argue that, no, it was decided. The Texas Supreme Court kind of changed it. Now, the Court of Appeals, because this was an interlocutory appeal, the interlocutory order maybe wasn't worded quite the way it should have been, but in any case, the Court of Appeals did not reach the most intriguing issue in the case, which is whether the presumed grant doctrine should somehow overturn this presumption in favor of a floating royalty. And I think that presumed grant doctrine argument, probably the stronger argument that the parties had over the estoppel arguments, just because I think if you look at the elements of presumed grant, I'm not sure that there's any requirement of an estoppel, which, you know, you have to act in reliance on the other party's conduct. What you have to do under presumed grant is you have to acquiesce to it, which I think is a little bit different than detrimental reliance. However, there does seem to be also arguably an element of notice. That's not stated in the actual principles of the presumed grant doctrine, but because it's a adverse possession type of argument, there's an element of notice. So we'll have to see